You cut yourself off there.
Okay. Sorry about that. A little slow of a start. We had Kurt finishing up a teleconference on some beta testing that we're doing right now, and we just needed the line to clear up for a second. And I know there's a few of you coaching students popping on here for this week's call, and we're going to go ahead and get started. And we're sitting at September 11th today. That's so IT can date this and get it uploaded. And we've been talking about a few things over the past couple of weeks. A couple of weeks ago, Cameron was on and went over Art of Questions with you. And last week, Kurt reviewed that and got into inoculation with you. And I am going to continue inoculation with you today. It happens to be my specialty. That's what I do here at the Institute, is help businesses craft all their sales literature, websites, everything, all the marketing, so that by the time a prospect gets to them, we've already overcome most of the objections, if not all of them. And that's certainly an ideal situation to be in. I'm sure you'd agree with me. If you can get a prospect that has already had their objections pre-solved through email campaigns, radio campaigns, whatever your marketing medium may be. And, you know, sometimes you're not in that world. Sometimes you don't have the budget to do that kind of a thing. Sometimes you're just calling people out of the blue or meeting them out of the blue, and that's okay. We'll still go over some concepts today that you can use to get as many objections solved as possible before they have a chance to start objections. Inoculation. I kind of get a little bit crazy on the analogies on this, and those of you that have worked with me before will probably agree, but it's kind of how I like to think about things, and it helps a lot of people understand the concept. Kurt told you last week, inoculation is pre-solving an objection. And we use that word because it's a medical term. Every winter, a lot of people like to go get a flu shot. And if you're a chiropractor, I know you're groaning right now. You're saying flu shots are bad. Just indulge me for analogy's sake. All right? But you go get a flu shot, and a weak form of the virus is introduced into your body. And that way you're able to recognize it and defeat it and build up some antibodies. And if you got a lot of noise, sounds like you're in the car, go ahead and hit *6 for me and mute yourself out. And if you have a question, you'll be able to pop back on by hitting that again. Thank you very much. Okay, so inoculation being a medical term, we're introducing a weak form of the virus into the human body so that when the big or when the more healthy form that can do us damage comes along later, we're ready for it. And the same thing happens mentally or psychologically for your prospects. We need to introduce a weak form of this objection into them that they can solve on their own, so it's not a big deal in the future. All right? For example, if you're in MLM, when somebody signs up for MLM, they almost always get ridiculed by their uncle who knows everything when he finds out what they did, right? You know, he's been in it before, he used to sell insurance, and let me tell you, this MLM stuff is garbage. Or maybe you're a real estate investor, and you convince somebody to sell their property to you, and sure enough, their father, oh, that's a scam, you're selling it to an investor, you don't want to do that. Right? Those are a couple of things that we refer to that as buyer's remorse, things that somebody would say to your prospect after you've closed the deal that could make it unravel. And so we certainly want to insure against that. If you're seeing that happen, we need to take some measures for inoculation. So homework item number one is, okay, am I having high incidence of buyer's remorse? Or am I likely to? If you're just getting started in your industry, ask the people that are producing, hey, do we have buyer's remorse? Do people ever come back after the transaction is done, and is there ever a problem? And if that is the case, we need to take some measures against it. Now, I'll pick on the MLM example, okay, just to kind of give you an idea. Because remember, inoculation needs to be a subtle form of the virus. If you go too strong, you end up giving it to them anyway, right, and shot yourself in the foot. So if somebody just came into your MLM and you're worried about their Uncle Bob telling them it was a scam, they have buyer's remorse, they back out, as you're closing up this deal, congratulate them. Let them know they've made a fantastic decision. You know, Sue, you've made a fantastic decision. And, you know, most of the population out there today doesn't recognize this. They're content going to their job. They're content working the 9-to-5, and they think they already know everything. Isn't that funny how the poorest people know everything? You get a little laugh out of them, right? And it's true. And so it's very possible that as you run across some people, even some of the people closest to you, they might not be super excited about what you're doing. Just be ready for that. It happens to everybody. So I don't want you to be surprised when that happens. Okay, that's an example of inoculating against buyer's remorse in that instance. Of buyer's remorse, one of it would be, oh crap, how much money did I just spend? Right? And and for those of you that are just joining us, I know a few of you have popped on, we're talking about inoculation. And, you know, a lot of times when you're persuading somebody, you have to get a little insurance policy against your persuasion down the road for buyer's remorse. So, you know, you think of that husband that went to Best Buy, bought the 72-inch plasma screen. He gets home and he realizes his wife is going to be home in a few minutes, and the oh crap hits him. Okay, he's realizing, oh no, what have I done? I just spent all this money. I shouldn't have done that, right? You are going to have to make them feel very good about their purchase before they leave. And here's how you do it, okay? When we are persuaded, we've made an emotional decision. Isn't that right? You know, we've gotten heated up emotionally, got excited about something, and we made a decision. That's the only way a human being makes a decision. We can't make decisions completely based on logic. If you were to do it that way, you'd never make a decision. For example, if I went out there and said, I want the best car for my money. Well, you're going to have a lot of research to do if you were to just build all this into a spreadsheet and run all the numbers against each other. We don't have time to do that. So emotion is going to come into play, and it's going to tip the scale at some point. Now, what happens with emotion? Think about it. When was the last time you were emotional? Maybe you were really mad about something. Maybe you were really sad. Maybe you were really happy. Well, a few minutes after, it kind of starts to wear off, doesn't it? Emotion doesn't hang around forever. In fact, if you've ever read Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman, he talks about a certain part of our brain called the amygdala. And it's towards the front of your brain, and it's what assesses major emotions and threats. And when it identifies a threat, it pumps your brain full of chemicals to deal with the threat. It's the old fight or flight from the caveman days. And that mechanism is still in place. And sometimes it's for our benefit, but you know, a lot of times, for example, in business, when we perceive a threat, we get emotional. That's not what we need to be doing. And there's been a lot of psychological studies of the brain that show it takes at least 20 minutes for those chemicals to start washing out of your system. Okay? Crimes of passion, right? It's proven that they're always committed when that amygdala is fired up, releasing the chemicals into the brain. So that's a side note for you. You know, if you feel like, oh, I'm getting emotional, you got to give yourself at least 20 minutes, probably more. And depending on how deep that emotion runs for you, it might be a couple of days, but you're definitely not coherent for at least 20 minutes.
Okay.
Does somebody have a question?
Oh, you want the SpongeBob?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Oh, somebody's talking about SpongeBob, huh? I need you to go ahead and mute yourself out and hit *6. We'd be very, very appreciative. My daughter loves SpongeBob, but now is not the time. Okay, so we're talking about that amygdala, and it's firing out those chemicals. It's getting us emotional. And people can make purchases. The amygdala has positive feelings, too. You know, you experience a rush. You're excited, and you make a purchase. And, yeah, you go home, and a day later or a couple hours later, all of a sudden reality sets in. And if you as a persuader have not backed that person up sufficiently with facts and studies or whatever, they're going to start looking for logical reasons to confirm why they made that purchase. That makes sense? So they go home with the 72-inch plasma TV. They start looking for logical reasons. And if you were all hype, if you were all emotion as the salesperson, they're not going to find any reason to keep that thing. So what facts and what studies can you give them so that when they start searching, they have something to back it up with? Right? If you leave somebody's house, they've committed to sell their property to you to get out from under some pre-foreclosure. What facts can you give them so that when they see that late night news story about a lot of people are taking way too less for their homes and selling too early, right? When they see that, they're backed up by fact and they can ignore it. So that would be kind of phase one of how we would use inoculation. Inoculation is used to prevent and eliminate buyer's remorse. Does that make sense to everybody? Does anybody have any questions or comments about that? Okay.
It's very interesting.
Let me ping. Let's see here. Phase two of inoculation then. You know, we were talking about getting over buyer's remorse, overcoming that in advance. Now there's actual objections that people have during the persuasion process. It's too expensive, it's this or it's that. That's the kind of stuff that you inoculate against. And we'll talk about this in a couple of weeks here, but when you think about overcoming objections, there's two kinds of objections, as Kurt says. There's genuine questions and concerns and knee-jerk reactions. You can inoculate against both of these, and you should, but typically what we've found is it's more necessary to inoculate against the knee-jerk reactions. A knee-jerk reaction is something that somebody thinks of when they're not quite comfortable enough with you yet in order to make you go away. Right? For example, if somebody knocks on your door, a door-to-door salesman, it's real easy to say, oh, I'm in the middle of dinner. Knee-jerk reaction, something. Just get them to go away. I want you to think about for a second if you're getting any knee-jerk reactions. If you're a network marketer, absolutely you're going to get knee-jerk reactions. Is this a pyramid scheme? If you're knocking doors for investments, well, you know, are you going to take my property out from under me and I can never get back in? Are you selling insurance? I already have enough. What are the knee-jerk reactions? And you can tell it's a knee-jerk reaction if you get it all the time. Now, a person who's genuinely interested in your product is going to have their own individual questions and concerns. Those are objections. Those are okay. You can think of those as the common cold, right? There's a billion different strains of the common cold virus, and you couldn't possibly prepare for all of them other than, well, don't, you know, roll around in the snow outside, make sure you take vitamin C, you know, try to eliminate stress. Those are some things you can do to prevent generally. But we do know for a fact every year that the flu is going to come around. Back in the 50s, we knew for a fact, well, polio is going to come around. There are certain objections and knee-jerk reactions that are very predictable given what you do. And I could say some right now, but you know better than I do in your profession. What's the problem? What's unraveling your deals?
Well, Igor just kept talking, and a couple people called through. Oh, that's it?
I'm sorry, what was that? Oh, I think that was offline conversation. Okay, so
you
know better than I do what those objections are going to be. Okay, and it doesn't necessarily have to be, well, I can't afford it, or this or that. It could be a physical barrier, right? Maybe you're talking to people with no money or no credit. Maybe you're talking to people, it's not the right time of day, but that's when you have to talk to them. These are things that can be overcome through your marketing or through the first 30 seconds to 2 minutes of your conversation with them. Those of you that have been to Kurt's 3-day workshop on persuasion have heard him talk about the acronym TESS, T-E-S-S. That stands for testimonial, example, story, and statistic. And that is a very good method to use for inoculation, especially because it covers personality types as well. And those of you that didn't join us, we did that all back in February. We did these calls on personality types, and we'll be doing it again here shortly. Okay. But testimonials, examples, and stories and statistics that center around these knee-jerk reactions and these objections can solve them beforehand because they do it by flying under the radar. Maybe you're knocking doors of pre-foreclosed property owners, and perhaps in the area there may be some federal assistance programs. You know, there's a lot of talk right now. Government stepping in, taking over Fannie and Freddie. Okay? And maybe people, maybe in your area there's a lot of Fannie and Freddie loans and people are thinking, oh, the government's going to save this. A lot of times that may not be the case. Okay? So you could inoculate somebody by saying in the first few seconds of your speaking with them, well, I'm really glad that you took the time to talk to me. You know, most people, what they say when they're done working with me is, well, they're glad that they didn't wait for the government to come bail them out or save things, because it hardly ever happens. In fact, Susie Johnson over here on Fifth Street, who I worked with the other day, that was a big concern for her. She thought that because the government was buying out Fannie and Freddie, that she was going to get bailed out too. Well, she found out that applies to less than 1% of all homeowners. And so a lot of people ended up waiting for that bailout to come in, and it never does. So you're very intelligent to be speaking with me and looking at your options. So all of a sudden, you've inoculated against that. When you leave a purchase contract with them and they're watching the news that night, oh, it's possible that Fannie Mae may be coming to the rescue. You've already prepped them against that. They're not going to think, oh, this is no good, throw the contract away, stop answering your calls. Right? That's an example, and that would have been a testimonial. Do we have a comment?
No, I was just going to say, especially if their auction date is 3 weeks, you know, subsequent.
Exactly.
Whatever. The auction date's coming up, and you don't have the time, and even if they do this, there isn't sufficient time for you to be helped in all likelihood.
And this is going to be something, and people in this state, you know, we're talking real estate here for a second, they get in a deep state of denial, you know, we're talking about law of dissonance there. And so, yeah, you've got to inoculate against these things before they got too much time to think about it, before these knee-jerk reactions can grow legs, right? Because if you let them grow legs, they'll take off on you, and you're not going to recover from it. So that was one example of doing it through a testimonial, right? An example. You know, in this case, we could use an example. We could say something like, well, thank you very much for taking the time to visit with me. You know, to give you an example of what we're talking about here, a lot of people in your situation, it's kind of like they have a medical problem, and they're just expecting their insurance to handle it. And they're banking on that, and they find out when it's too late that their insurance isn't going to handle it. So you're very intelligent by going, think of me as your insurance. You know, maybe a suitcase full of money falls out of the sky and hits you on the head, and your problems are solved. And if that happens, I'd be the first to tell you, go for it. That's great. But in the meantime, you're intelligent to be looking at your options. That's an example. A story is, you know, just a more detailed and longer testimonial, isn't it? you know, when you have a little better relationship with somebody, sit down and tell them a vivid story that they can relate to. Now, I'm going to... Oh, man, he'd hate me if he found out I was doing this. But it's a superb example of inoculation, okay, and stories. But many of you on the line know a prominent speaker, okay, named Robert Allen, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, ever since early 90s, he's been, you know, selling his programs at his seminars and such. And if you remember, he has a program called his Protégé Program, and it's, you know, pretty solid. It takes you through some good income streams and gets you introduced to those. And he would sell this from stage. When I saw him do this once, you know, I've heard him do it a million times, but I was really paying attention this one time. And he, when he was selling this, told a story about a man named Jim. And Jim was really concerned, because all he had was $5,000 to his name. Well, come to think of it, Robert Allen's program cost $5,000 at the time, right? He didn't conveniently just pick that number. And Jim had all he came up to Robert Allen after this seminar he was doing, and he said, well, how do I know this is going to work? I've only got $5,000 to his name. What guarantee do you have? And Robert Allen said to him, well, I guarantee if you give me that $5,000, you're never going to see it again,
yeah.
Right? And he went through and he told this story about Jim, who, of course, conveniently had all of the concerns and all of the objections that everybody in that audience was thinking about. So by the time he told you, let's go to the back of the room and let's close this up, he had pretty much already addressed every concern you were going to have. And I watched him, you know, march a bunch of people to the back of the room and close the deals. And like it or not, it was a very smooth pitch. Done very well. Now, you've got, obviously, to believe in your product. Okay? And when you believe in it, you can do that. So a story, if you're going to tell your prospect a story to inoculate, it needs to be a story about a person just like the one you're talking to who had all the same objections. And, you know, you can use the whole feel, felt, found approach. A lot of you that have been in sales know that. Well, Susie used to feel that same way or felt that same way. Now she found this, right? Or I used to feel that same way. All right? And you walk them through that. So that'd be stories. Now, statistics, the last S in tests, is used especially for your analytical personalities. But you can, you know, use that very effectively here. Right? So what statistics can you bring to the front that are going to help? You know, sir, did you know that 92% of people who get their third notice of default from their mortgage company these days end up losing their house and all their equity to the mortgage company? So I'm glad that we could talk. I'm glad you can understand. I want you to be one of the 8%, not one of the 92%. In network marketing, right? Well, Bill, you know, most people think that they don't need to do some kind of a home-based business. They think their 401k is going to take care of them, when in reality, the average United States 401k has $92,000.30 in it when that person retires. Now, I don't know about you, but when I retire at age 65, I'm not going to make it if I have $92,000 to my name. Statistics. And, you know, obviously those statistics, it's best if you've got, you know, your source with that. You know, according to such and such, so and so said, XYZ group of researchers said, so let me distill this down into what you need to think about, and then we can take a little bit of time for questions and comments. So we've talked about inoculation basically on two levels today, preventing buyer's remorse and overcoming knee-jerk objections. When you're using it to prevent buyer's remorse, you've got to give the person some facts. Why is buyer's remorse cropping up, if it is, for you? And what facts can you give them so that when they go home and the emotion wears off, it's not a problem anymore? That would be phase one, or the first thing that you need to consider and take from this call tonight. Number two, what knee-jerk reactions are you getting? How can you use tests or testimonials, examples, stories, and statistics to overcome those?
Can't leave by 3:30. You might as well wait till 7.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. What was that? I'm not sure that was even that may be some offline talking.
I think so.
Remember, with inoculation, okay, you're inoculating, you're giving them weak form before. If this person has already objected, you can give them all the inoculations in the world and it's not going to do anything, right? Getting a flu shot after you have the flu is pointless. So now as a persuader, you got to take the chicken soup and the time in bed approach, and that's solving objections after they've occurred. That's damage control. And we'll get into that in a couple of weeks here. So it's a very systematic approach in persuading. And those of you that are marketing, that are generating leads, you can see that you'd want to consider this as you write your copy, as you do your promotion, so that the person is as qualified and as ready as possible by the time they get to you.
Absolutely.
Now, how do we do tonight? Is everybody, or are you thinking, wow, this is crazy, this Steve guy's in left field? Do you have questions? What can I do?
Hi, Steve. Dave in Daytona. How are you?
Hey, Dave. Long time no chat.
Yeah, long time. This is really one of the challenges I have, because I think I speak rather well, and it's just making sure I've got all my ducks in a row, and it's really a matter of maybe keeping a list of those objections written in front of me as I'm making the call and doing some, practicing.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I think one of the challenges is maybe I'm not practicing enough and having all those answers to their challenges, so to speak.
So yeah.
Just having like 10 answers or 10 comebacks, or I'm glad you asked that, because, you know, in our situation, you're going to get people saying they didn't do that, but what they don't realize is that you're in the Mercedes-Benz of network marketing.
Okay, well, yeah, you're basically, you're asking me, if I understand, Dave, should you write down the main objections you're getting and then come up with the comebacks for that? Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, and we're getting into a little bit different of a topic. The short answer to your question is yes. You know, we should have some kind of a comeback to handle those objections. And if you want a quick reference for that, go through Maximum Influence or Magnetic Persuasion. Go to the chapter called The Law of Involvement. And there is it's like a 6 or 7 step process that Kurt gives in that chapter on how you should address an objection once it comes up.
And then once they've gotten in, and an inoculation means that they're going to just prep them for all the stuff, all the feedback they're going to get from people on the outside, right?
And that would be to prevent buyer's remorse, right? Now you're going to let's say you're trying to get somebody into the business, into your MLM, and maybe, for example, the whole pyramid scheme thing is killing you, which
sure,
that's pretty easy to get over after it comes up, but it's more fun to not have to deal with it, okay? It's more fun to not have to solve the same garbage over and over. So say, well, Bill, I'm glad you took the time to talk with me today. You know, a lot of people out there are you know, wondering about home-based business and is it a pyramid scheme? And the fact is pyramid schemes haven't been around since the 70s when the government outlawed them. And what I'd like to discuss with you today is a very real and very powerful way to build a business from home. And it's awesome. I'm glad that we have the time to talk. You know, something along those lines. And so if you're getting that pyramid thing all the time, if you say that before they have a chance to do it, if you say that at the beginning of the presentation, worst case scenario, it'll just be a quick question right then. Then it's gone forever. You don't have to deal with it.
Exactly. Okay, very good. That answers my question. Thank you.
You're absolutely welcome. Any other questions?
It seems that all of this is a process of learning recursively. If, as you go through and experience things, you log them, the more informed you are as to the objections, which obviously if you're out there doing it, you're going to have a lot larger base to draw from. It seems combining that with this type of theory, for example, it makes a lot of sense to employ inoculation if you can, you know, apply that leverage up front that kind of eases the way in conversation with your prospects. I mean, it certainly paves the way toward the end sale.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you're sitting at home not doing anything, this is absolutely useless information for you. Okay?
Right.
I just wasted a half hour of your life. But if you're out there talking to prospects, yeah, Dave was wondering, well, what are my main objections? And a lot of people don't know that. You got to know what is it that's always kicking you in the pants? Because there are measures that you can take beforehand to make them go away. And that's what we're basically suggesting that you should consider here. Any other comments or questions tonight?
Could it be said that, interruption here, that means at the beginning that you're going to obviously look a little less competent in your prospect's eyes, because at some points in time you may end up getting tripped up, and you should expect that. So you can look at prospects as being a learning experience at the same time, but if you repeat that same mistake and get lost in the same objection, then kind of a shame on you situation.
Because I'm not sure I got you 100%. Can you give me an example of what you're meaning by that?
Well, let's take talking to pre-foreclosure candidates, you know, people in pre-foreclosure. If you're talking with them and, you know, one of their primary concerns is, are you coming along to fleece me? And they bring that up, I mean, straight up. And if you don't have an answer to that issue, then you're going to kind of look like you have egg on your face if you're not prepared to deal with that objection.
Yeah, so you're going to be the doofus, that's for sure. And, that's why we always talk about, you know, we use the example of, well, you're a doctor. You're a doctor of persuasion. You ask questions to uncover the dissonance and solve the problem. But a doctor can inoculate, but he can also solve problems after they've come up. So, yeah, you should, as Dave said, you got to have the snappy comeback in case your inoculation didn't take. And now it will most of the time if you do it right, if you use tests. But if they still say, well, I'm still concerned, you know, that I'm going to be fleeced here or whatever it is, yeah, you've got to have something to come back and squash that and make it go away forever.
Sure. Absolutely. This was good.
Great. Well, I'm glad you found it helpful. Does anybody else have comments or questions or anything specific? You know, if you've got something you want to run by me, now's the time. Well, it sounds like I tired you all out. I do want to invite everybody, for those of you that are able to make it, in you know, just about a month here, October 9th through the 11th, we will be doing one of the Perfect Persuasion workshops. We're going to be in Vegas, and it's going to be at the Embassy Suites there on Swenson Street. And if you're interested in registering for that, obviously you're our students, we'd love to have you. And this is, anybody that's been can verify that, you know, it is a very good life-changing experience. It changes a lot, and it's very, very effective for your business. So October 9th through the 11th, we'll be in Vegas. We'd love to have you. You're already our students, and always love to see you and meet you and put a face, you know, with the voice. So if you want to register for that, go to wealthprofessor.com. wealthprofessor.com, and that's where you'll find the link for the information on the Las Vegas boot camp that's coming up. Well, good. I think that's about a wrap for tonight, everybody. It's always nice talking to you. We will have you on the phone again next week, same time, same channel. We can review a little bit of this if need, but we'll also have some more content for you to consider as you go about your journey to becoming a master persuader. So we appreciate you a lot, wish you the best, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you, Steve.
Take care, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.